I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. And pretty good baseball team right now. And a lot better. Who'd have thought 1/32nd through the season? We're 1/32nd through the season. Who'd have thought that Lance McCullers was the best pitcher on the staff?
Best pitcher on the staff has a real shot at the Cy Young. We're going to have to maybe go the Wayback Machine and bust out Simon Cullors.
Yeah.
If this happens, I just need one more game. I just need one more to prove that it's a sustainable.
If he finishes with a 1-2-9 and he has 9 strikeouts per walk and he is 32-0, he will win the Cy Young. There's no question in my mind. No question in my mind. He is Cy Young this year. He looked good.
He looked really great.
Yeah.
So much movement on his pitches. Wow. They were exploding at the back end of the pitch. I mean, just a ton of late movement. He had real sink. You know, the sinker was just looked terrific. Slider had big, big movement. It was impressive. Really impressive the way that he was able to 9 strikeouts in 7 innings, and the guy had control. He knew he was able to throw pitches that he wanted to, where he wanted to. It was just a really impressive vintage performance, which we haven't seen, in several years.
8 ground balls to 2 fly balls.
Yep.
14 swinging strikes, 18 foul balls, and 14 in-play strikes. Pretty good.
Right.
Pretty damn good. So he gets the win. And, man, did you see the bomb Yordan hit? Holy crap.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Almost hit the roof again.
He
almost hit the roof again.
It is.
Only he does it. Most people hit the roof, right in the infield. Because it goes straight. He almost hits the roof like halfway to a home run. I mean, in the outfield, way deep.
Maybe a little lower. The first one that wasn't a home run, they projected at 349, which would have been a home run, the one that hit the roof. And
I projected it at 900.
I know you projected. You said 900.
900.
And then you backed it down to 700. But they...
Yeah,
the science said 349, but
well, my science was different.
Yeah, so he probably could maybe reduce the launch angle, maybe a little bit, but it feels like he's adjusted it to make sure he starts hitting more home runs this year. He looks good. Then Altuve, I mean, this is just what it is. Your two best hitters are Altuve and Yordan, and Lance McCullers is not just your best pitcher, maybe the best pitcher in the American League.
In the league.
Hands down. Maybe.
In the league.
And I hate to say that about Skubal, but he pitched in a World Baseball Classic. I'm expecting him to break completely down.
Look at Skubal. Look at Skeens. I mean, they're terrible. And Lance McCullers. Now.
Bury him in the H. He gets buried in the H now.
You know, he said, we got a lot of Lance sound. We got a lot of Lance sound so we can play it. He was on MLB last night. He was, he did his post game last night and all that. So we've got some sound to talk about it. But he knew he was facing Boston for a while. So he, you know, that's a bit of an advantage. Of course, you got 5 days in between your starts that you can study the other team. But he knew exactly what he wanted to do. The thing is...
Yeah, but how do you do it?
Yeah, right. You got to execute it.
I'm sure he's known what he's wanted to do in a lot of his starts, and he had a 1.7 whip last year.
Yeah. Everybody had a hit. Every starter had a hit, which was really, really nice. I mean, the offense is a lot better than we thought it was going to be. A lot better. I mean, it's really, really incredible. Did you see Matthews homer?
Yeah.
Holy crap. Jose had two.
Astros had
Alvarez,
four.
Alvarez, Yordan had one. And Bryce Matthews hit one that was destroyed. He just destroyed that ball. I mean, dude looks like he's you know what about him? And I think they said it might have been yesterday or the day before. It might have been the day before or the day before that. You watch him at the plate, and even with two strikes, he's not a bundle of nerves. Mm-hmm. He's very quiet at the plate. And that is a sign of a guy that's really mature as opposed to a young player like he is.
Well, he was an early round pick. Yeah. He is a guy that they have high hopes for. We just kind of, you know, he came up last year and there was a little bit of early commotion that he made and then it just went away.
Yep. No, and now
there's still hope.
You know, he got his shot and he beat out Zach Cole and he's getting his shot, which is nice. It'll be interesting to see how Joe works this with righties and lefties, with Loprofito, with, you know, Paredes having to play, with DHs, with, you know, who's going to be in, you know, when Jeremy it comes back full time, how they're going to do all of this, because Bryce Matthews and Joey Loprofito deserves his at-bats as well. But you can sit if Cam Smith, you know, struggles mightily. You've got Bryce Matthews. You've got Joey Loprofito. You know, if Jake struggles, he can sit as well. You got options in center field with Loprofito. He can play center field. So, mm-hmm. You know, the outfield, you know, on paper, is too young. The outfield is too unproven. But you got some options that look, you know, at least Loprofito has looked good early on and Matthews has looked good early
on. We'll see what happens. Yeah, Cam is off to a slow start. We'll see what happens. I mean, Loprofito, if you get two of those three, and Matthews wasn't a guy that we were talking about in terms of, you know, getting a ton of AB. So, let's, you know, we'll see what happens with Bryce Matthews. But I'll take anything. I mean, you know, there's no proclamations. Look, other than Lance McCullers being a legitimate Cy Young candidate and potential MVP, there's really no proclamations we should be making after five games.
Well, other than that one, Yordan or Altuve MVP, we can make those.
Well, yeah, I feel like that's what we can do. But these other guys, let's wait and see. We'll see what they do. I mean, you're gonna have some ups and you'll have some downs. Another hit for Christian Walker, which was nice. Yeah. He's seeing the ball a little bit. So, as you mentioned, everybody who played yesterday, who started, had a hit for the Astros. 13 yesterday. They did score 9 runs the game prior with 7 hits, which is you don't typically see that level of efficiency, but that happened. But in terms of the run counts, I mean, the Astros have hung runs up, and they jumped on the Red Sox quick yesterday. They, you know, had 4 in the first 5 innings, and Lance McCullers was, I mean, he was a story. I know Altuve hitting 2 home runs is a story. He jumped on that fastball, bang, right, I mean, just right away, knew it was gone. Yordan had a home run. It's nice seeing a young outfielder and Bryce Matthews. But, I mean, for me, Lance McCullers is a story. That was a really great out. I'm so happy for Lance. I'm so happy. I don't know what happens the rest of the way. Other than potentially a Cy Young, obviously, based on what I saw yesterday, if I extrapolate that at 34 starts and he's completely healthy. But it's just so good for him. You know, this is a guy who didn't play 23, didn't play 24, played 25, was bad in limited time, was his worst year of his career in limited time that he was able to play. I mean, he hasn't done anything since 22, and even in 22, he only played in August in the postseason. And so for him to come out and have a game like this where he knows this feels like his swan song, like this is it, this is his goodbye tour, is this year, it's the last year on a contract that has not paid off for the Astros at all, not even remotely close to paying off for the Astros. And yet, you know, for him to come out and put that game out there was just, it was just awesome. I'm sure it's, I'm sure he's been a wreck the last 3 or 4 years, if not more, because he feels like he's not helping at all. And then, God, the way he looked yesterday was incredible. I'm not even allowing myself to think, what if he's really this good, you know, for and can stay healthy? And then you have Hunter Brown, who you know is going to be Hunter Brown. I'm not worried about Hunter Brown. And then you get one more guy, just one more. Because if you can get three starters who have good years, you got a real shot.
Yeah. It's one outing, so we got
to. It's one outing, but it's one outing that feels good. Like it could send him to the Hall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know about the Hall thing.
If the Astros,
I don't know how much a wreck he was.
As long as
those checks were cashing.
No, that's not fair to him. That's not fair to him. Well, you're acting like he just is in it for the money.
It's not like he couldn't put food on the table. Well, hold on, he wasn't working.
But that's not fair to him because you know that anybody who makes a lot of money is not the thing. They want to. You think they have no problems? Because
money's
they
not
get
the
paychecks?
Thing
because
they got money.
No,
that's
exactly.
Why money's not the thing.
Exactly. Right. So that's not the he's not worried about money. That's not where he's got. Oh, I got money. Right. I don't care if I'm terrible or not. I'll just steal this money from this team.
No.
Lance McCullers legitimately. People in the Astros have said that Lance McCullers is like it's killing him that he couldn't be out there and pitch.
Obviously.
And I think he feels like I'm doing nothing and getting money. You know.
Right. No. Obviously.
So I just thought that was for you to. Categorized it as, well, he's got checks, so he's probably not caring that much.
I didn't say he didn't care. I said he got checks.
You said he's not
got checks.
He's probably not a wreck because he's still getting the checks are still cashing.
Well,
I think that it's tough. I mean, that's who he is, right?
Yes.
He's 30, whatever he is now. He's 30-something, and this has been his whole identity since he's probably been 8 years old. And with a dad who's a pitcher, probably a major league pitcher, probably even more so, that's his whole identity. And his identity now is that he's just a guy who can't do anything. Always hurt, can never get back. I legitimately think it's probably been really tough on a guy who has had injury issues his entire career and was vaunted. I mean, as a second-round pick and had early success, a dad who was a major leaguer, and this guy, his career is going to end as, you know, I mean, it's tarnished. The injuries have tarnished his career. He's missed three years of pitching in his career, maybe four. Where he didn't even pitch those seasons. And my guess is it did weigh on him pretty heavy. I know he told us when we interviewed him, when me and Eric Layden interviewed him on off script, and that was in 2020 or 21, I think he takes it pretty hard. Because I think he's one of those guys that really cares. I think Carlos really cares.
No. Absolutely, they care. But
Carlos missed a lot of time at one point in his career.
Yep. Zach Cole got hit by a pitch down in AAA and broke a toe. Mm. So this is hopefully nobody struggles tremendously because Zach Cole won't be an option for a while. Then he's got a rehab and everything else. So, you know, it's nice to see Bryce Matthews hitting like that. Be nice to see Cam Smith hitting. It's nice to see Lo Perfido hitting. That happened.
What
last
about Jake?
Night.
You're just going to act like Jake doesn't exist?
Jake is Jake. Jake's got his spot here. He's below. Hey, listen. They tried as they might. Tried as they could. They couldn't get rid of Jake. Okay,
I don't understand
Jake is going to have his number retired when he's done here. I mean, Jake has been here, done that. You had a guy climbing up the wall, making one of the great catches in World Series history in Game 6, and Jake started in Game 1 of the next season. So, yeah, just never mind about, well, it wasn't Game 6, it was like Game 4, Game 3. Never mind about Jake. Jake's got his spot in Astros lore.
I've never seen somebody who's been so consistently not good have. And then, you know, last year gave him a little bump. I've never seen somebody at Jake's level who's so untouchable, seemingly untouchable. He outlasted Chaz, and Chaz had much better good seasons than Jake had. But unfortunately, Chad's bad seasons were, you know,
right,
pretty bad.
Well, last year, And the year before.
He had World Series. He was a World Series hero. Chaz McCormick. He had his own chomp going. He had people dressing up like, the guy in the gator suit doing chomps. You had people in the outfield doing chomps. Yeah. What is Jake? Jake has nothing. There's no Jake the Snake. There's no Jake moves. It's just, and yet here Jake is, nuclear cockroach. You're unable to get rid of Jake Myers. He's inevitable, is what he is.
Yeah. No, Jake is that. He's the nuclear cockroach. You're right. You're right about that. Can't get rid of Jake. To try as they might, they couldn't get rid of Jake this offseason.
I'm not even sure. This season they tried. I'm sure they probably tried in the past, and everyone went like, I don't want Jake Myers.
Well, what were you going to get for Jake?
Nothing.
I mean, just like Chaz, you just had to go, all right, see you. Bye. But I think they overplayed their hand a little bit with Jake. And everybody's like, we'll see if he backs that last season up. Of course, he did have three homers and 600 at-bats, so, he didn't hit with a bunch of pop.
No. But, I don't know anybody who said, hey, Jake has proven himself.
Yeah.
I was always like, that's cool and all, but. All right, does Tony have a point here? Lance McCullers spent so much time pitching Maven, his coffee brand, that he became a pitching Maven? Is that fair to use that play on words and to say maybe he is a pitching Maven now?
Mm-hmm. I think Tony might be one of Tony's worst efforts.
I think he's still
reeling from Iowa's loss. And
you were looking, you had, oh my gosh, Iowa was sitting there in the catbird seat.
Could there have been an easier road for Houston or Illinois? Iowa.
Well, except Iowa had that lead at half. Yeah. And they were shooting about 70%.
Yeah, but then, in reality, sorry about that, Tone. Too many white guys. Mix in some athletes. Time to talk a little. Well, let's talk a little hoops right now. Let's talk about ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com is where you get your basket on, people. ProDunk.com never skimps on quality. ProDunk.com has the best tempered glass backboards. Every single step, okay, the unbreakable rim, the push of a button where you can raise and lower, the unrustable stanchion, the installation that is perfect and great. You can go and you can go get one of those baskets at the box store, and you can put sand in the base and see how often the kids are going to be out there playing. Never. Okay, you're getting a goal for a reason, because you want the kids outside, you want them playing, you want them to get better. You want them to possibly get you some college money. And you never know. But you raise a little sharpshooter, you never know. They are in, my goodness. Yes, they're in demand. So, and there's money in them, there hills for them. So you're looking for the best way to have the kids outside, have them play well. You can raise and lower the goal so that they can actually reach the goal, Dad. Let them have the best goal in the history of goals. That's ProDunk.com. It's not even arguable. You will love the goal. Everyone does. ProDunk.com, ProDunk.com.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, my goodness. There's a great Masters commercial out. Great. It's like a minute 30 long. It's just awesome. Y'all got to watch it. Just gets you pumped. And we're only a couple weeks away from the Masters. Yeah. There is a university here called the Masters.
Where? In L.A.?
Yeah, it's up towards Santa Clarita.
Mm-hmm.
And I drive by it a lot. The golf course I play at is up there. And it is, it makes me think every time I go by it. I'm like, not sure that's a great name for a college. I mean, what do you learn there? To be masters? I don't know.
You have master's programs, so I don't know what you master.
Well, it's called the Masters University, mm-hmm. so
it's probably some type of culty thing where you try to learn how to be able to mind control people so you can get girls to follow you.
That's something useful. I mean, I had a liberal arts degree from Knox.
Yeah, big deal anyway.
I got nothing out of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could, in college, if there's a class where you could mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's like
mind control.
Well, some people
to
call
get
that.
Women?
One of my best classes ever was something called Dale shaking his head, interpersonal communications, which was great because it just teaches you, if you bastardize it, it taught you how to spit game, but really just taught you to listen. You've seen Heaven's Gate or whatever. You've seen, you know, all these little cult shows. The hot yoga guy. There was the one where, remember, it was the Indian lady who was really mean. What was her name from back in the day? The Sheila. They called her the Sheila. You remember?
Oh, yeah.
Remember her?
Yeah.
So there's always these. I've seen Netflix had a run where they were doing a lot of documentaries on kind of mind control culty stuff, and I was thinking, you know, and I think some of them were kicking off in L.A., and I was thinking, maybe that's what it is, you know? Maybe that's what it is. There was a movie, I think, called The Master or something like that, that was something having to do with that.
Right. I mean that's something that you put to use as opposed to most of the college classes you take.
So what are we saying, just to be clear, so I can...
It was called The Master. Paul Thomas Anderson, 2012.
Distance myself from all this. What are we saying is good again?
You know, learning mind control.
And
well, I mean, just to protect it. John, you know, you learn how to talk to girls, mind control, talking to girls. I think it's getting a bad rap. John's calling it mind control. You can position it in a different way, John.
Well, this school,
I know how I'd use it.
It was originally named Los Angeles Baptist College and Seminary, then got a name change in 1985 to the Master's College.
Here comes the fact checker.
And then 2016.
Freddie Fact Checker on the case.
Since you brought it up, I'm just telling you the origins. It is now it's the Master's University. It is a non-denominational conservative Christianity school, Christian school where they teach
mind control.
Well, if you want to call it that, that's up to you. You and Jaden Ivey can.
Did Jaden Ivey go there?
Man, we don't know yet. He doesn't.
Oh no, he went to Purdue, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did go to Purdue.
Well, that was old J.I. He called himself J.I. is dead. J.I. is not here anymore. He's a new guy.
So I put in a about sound. So those of you who don't know, I put Nick Young in there, Dell. For those of you that don't know, Jaden Ivey had a rant.
Jaden Ivey was the player that many people said should have been drafted in hindsight over Jabari Smith.
Yes.
And now it becomes, oh, wait a minute.
Well,
just kidding. He doesn't even have a basketball
Well,
team.
Not because so much of his Christian beliefs, but because he wasn't very good at basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he can't
stay
healthy.
He was really fast. He was like the fastest guy in the world.
But he can't stay healthy. He's played very few games this year.
He was on the Bulls bench. And his response to being cut by the Bulls after his homophobic rant the other day, he said, "Man, I was a good teammate. What are you guys talking about?
We got that. We can play that.
Oh, you want to play that?
Yeah.
All right. Here is Jaden Ivey got cut. He made some Steph Curry reference. He was down on the NBA. He got cut from the Bulls because he says Pride Nights are wrong." That it's promoting homosexuality. That's wrong in the Bible.
No, it's promoting unrighteousness, quote unquote.
Unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Unrighteousness. And, well, and homosexuality, which is unrighteous. So,
that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Okay. Yeah, I was just making sure.
And so here is his response to being cut by the Bulls.
They said, my conduct is detrimental to the team, right? Why didn't they just say, We don't agree with his stance on LGBTQ. Why didn't they say that? Well, how is it conduct detrimental to the team? What did I do to the team? What did I do to the players? I did nothing but practice with them, play with them, pass the ball to them, good teammate to them. Said good job, good shot. I said good job, good pass. Way to play, bro. Right?
Play,
I said
bro.
These things to my teammates. Was never detrimental to them. So why is it that the NBA and the Chicago Bulls say that I'm detrimental to the team? How? because I believe in the truth, because I know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. How is my conduct detrimental to the team because of what I believe, because of what the truth is?
Now, well, he was he a good actually did, and he said he passed the people. Now, he did play four games for
four
the
games. He started three, so it wasn't like he was. I mean, the reason that he was saying instead of a guy that didn't play, he was a guy who was injured.
Good job, bro. Good job, bro.
Way to go, pal.
Hey good all right, shot. Bro.
I said
that's
I
what's
said
up. Stuff. I said like that's what's up, bro. Sometimes.
Yeah. So he. He was a guy who was a good teammate because he would say, good job, bro.
Yeah. And sometimes he said he would pass, too, sometimes.
Yeah. I passed to my teammates. When he did. He averaged 11.5 in those four games.
Yeah, he played 33 games for the Pistons. Yeah. He played 37 this year. He won't play again. Last year, he played 30. You know, when he plays, he says, good job, bro, and whatnot.
Well, maybe the Rockets should pick him up.
Okay. If that's what you think.
Well, I mean, they could use a guard. I mean,
does he play?
Well, I mean, if he can get on the floor.
He hasn't played since February 11th, and he caught a coach's DNP, too, because they're like, he's not very good.
Well, yeah, I mean.
He's probably, he probably is pretty good.
Yeah.
3-point percentage in those four games this year for the Bulls, mm-hmm. Electric. 38% from three.
That's, I'll take that right now.
Shot 89% from the free throw line. So I'm saying that's special.
You know, before he got hurt last year, because when the Detroit was coming on, his first 30 games, over 40% from three, 46% from the fields, almost 18 points per game. So he was part of why they were considered one of the stories of the NBA. And then he gets hurt and he's forgotten. And now
why they want to trade him?
Well, he's been hurt. But he had played well going into, well, before he got hurt. That his third year, he appeared to be on his way to being someone you can count on. Him and Cade Cunningham was going to be maybe a lethal backcourt. He gets hurt, and now it changes the course of his career. And who knows what happens next?
I do wonder if they got rid of him because they feel like he's one of those guys who just will just sit out. Like that's become an issue. I know it's maybe overblown sometimes, but there are some guys. Yeah, I've heard about some in football, by the way. I've heard about some in this draft. Who, you know who was like that also, believe it or not, was Troy Polamalu. Polamalu, not that he didn't love ball, but he wanted his body. You know, he's really into his body and his physical well-being. And he wanted to be at 100% physically for him to practice and play. Now, he usually played, obviously, but sometimes they had some issues where he wouldn't practice, and they never doubted that he loved football. He just, you know, you have to play through a certain amount of pain. That's just what it is in sports. And some guys just don't want to, you know.
Well, he broke his leg.
Yeah, but I could have. I mean, well, do you remember when I came in here on knee scooters?
But Jaden Ivey did miss time for soft tissue. He broke his leg.
I mean, supposedly.
No. He broke his leg.
That's what
he broke his left fibula.
That's what the lamestream media is telling you.
No, well, that's just
but
what
we
the
don't
media,
know.
That's what can't trust the mainstream
that's what,
media.
No, that's
did
what
you
Pistons
see the X-rays?
Said. That's what the Pistons
did
said.
Did you see the X-rays?
So
I've got Mason told me just yesterday the government is watering down gas so that you don't get as much and it burns faster. I'm not sure what advantage that is for the government, but apparently this is what's being said on TikTok, and I'm like, because he's also paying attention. He's noticed his gas is burning faster in his car, and he's not getting as many miles out of his gas. And so it's little things like this that make me think maybe there was no X-ray with Jaden Ivey. Maybe he never broke his leg.
Jaden Ivey is lucky he doesn't play for Toronto. There is a bill in Canada now that makes quoting the Bible over homosexual references in the Bible makes it illegal. There, it's not illegal yet, but there's a bill that is going to be. We'll see if it passes or not. So he's lucky he doesn't play for Toronto. But Nick Young has a way for Jaden Ivey to return to the league. Here is Nick Young responding to Jaden Ivey being cut by the Bulls.
take a stance like that, you're done. You, it ain't. I'm going to tell you where you messed up at. It ain't even about the community you was talking about. It's the fact that your ass went at Steph Curry. You're done. You said anything about that man. You said something about Steph Curry. Oh, yeah. You talk about Steph Curry. You called the golden child, not a Christian? Oh, yeah. God might even do something to you for that. God don't play about him. What other that's 6 feet and the best player in the NBA? Jaden Ivey, your best bet now is just be gay.
If he comes out, if Jaden Ivey comes out as gay now, do you think what he can get back in the league?
What is this segment?
Why is
he trying to light this show on fire and get everyone fired on it?
And
I've got a family to feed.
And go to Nick Young for advice.
I mean, and Nick Young sounds like he's literally falling asleep while high. I've never heard Nick sound like that. Are we sure that's Nick Young?
That was Nick.
Why is Jaden trying
what?
To talk this
so, way? Wait, if he comes out as gay, the Rockets
care.
Can pick him
no.
up.
No,
I don't want Jaden. I didn't want him before. I don't want him now. Jaden doesn't play. I want guys who play.
Just trying to find a way.
I want guys who play.
He had played.
No, not for 2 years.
No, he played.
He played 30 last year. He's played 34 this year.
37.
That's not a lot.
He was coming off of an injury. How long do you take a? How long does it take?
I like players
back from a broken
leg. I like
leg?
Players that don't break their legs.
Well, you like Tari Eason.
Yeah, he didn't break his leg.
He didn't.
He's playing right now. He just a while ago had one of his best games of the year.
But he didn't play for a while.
Yeah, because he was getting right.
Well, that's what
with
Jaden Ivey,
God.
That's yep. what Jaden Ivey was doing, getting right.
Well, I don't know if he was getting it. Again, if you go after Steph Curry, are you getting right with God?
I don't know. I don't care about that. Let me tell you what I don't care about.
Okay.
NBA drama. These grown men. Oh, my God. And then it's like follows Ryan Clark and follows Cam Newton everywhere. Stephen A. Smith. Like, I don't know why ESPN is just drama factory. NBA, I've watching now. I've got every. I don't know how my algorithm became Joe Budden and his crew, who I don't even know. Having all this drama all the time. Like, how did my algorithm, did I stop too long on a Joe Budden podcast video where this guy's fighting with this guy on the podcast about stuff? I'm like, well, what has happened? I felt like I was John Granato. I had like 40 fights in a row. Then I had a bunch of drama, which I don't think his is, he didn't have that. I've had a bunch of like grown men with drama with other grown men like you might see in, with guys, it's not even high school. It might be junior high. And I was just like, how did this become? What is this? Can't I just see somebody who dunked? Can't I just see Altuve stare into a camera after a home run or Yordan do something fun? Why is this on my timeline? I don't want this. I did see a little girl punching a boy in the face with a jab. They're two Korean kids who are they're playing some game where they both do 1, 2, 3, shoot, and you do a 1 or a 2. And if it comes up one way, then one kid gets to punch the other one in the face. You have to duck out of the way on time. And this girl is I retweeted it. She is wearing this little boy out. I mean, telephone pole jabs that are knocking him to the ground. And her processing is so fast. I'm like, now that's okay. Maybe that's why I end up with the timeline I end up. I would watch this. I watched it probably for 25 straight minutes on loop.
All right.
How come I don't have any booties on my timeline?
How come you aren't talking about Billy Brown when you should be, okay? When you keep on talking and talking instead of talking about Billy
Brown.
Billy Brown deserves your time and effort, okay? Billy Brown is what makes the Brown go down.
Mm-hmm.
And you are talking and talking about Korean kids punching each other in the face.
That's pretty
Billy
good.
Billy Brown might come up and punch you in the face for not talking about him.
You can have both. You can have Billy clean your septic system out and watch little kids get punched in the face because you're not doing it. You can sit and scroll your videos while Billy's crew is getting the work done.
That's true. You can because you don't
you
do
need
it.
More
they
time.
Do.
No,
they
I'm not
do
doing
all
that.
The work. You
don't know what I'm doing.
You don't know nothing about
plumbing. I don't know what I'm doing. When I had major issues or minor issues, I'm like, Billy, I hate to do this again.
You can't even clean your gutters out, let alone
Billy. Do you do gutters
without hurting yourself?
I asked Billy. I said, "Do y'all do gutters?" I mean, it's kind of like sewage of the gutter. And it turns out they don't clean gutters.
They don't clean gutters. I don't know if you heard, Billy don't clean gutters no more. Okay, Billy Brown makes the brown go down. He makes the water come out clear, not brown. He makes your plumbing great again. It's what Billy does. Okay. It's what he does every single day. His guys do anyway. Billy probably just sits around thinking about playing good golf. I don't know what Billy does all day. I know his guys are great. I know they come to your house, and they don't charge you to come to the house. They absolutely free come, and they give you do a great job for you. You have to call if you've got any issues, 281-488-6238, 281-488-6238, or Aqueduct Plumbing, aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in with us on ESPN 97.5. So we had the Astros looking good. Astros scoring runs. Yordan looked great. Altuve with four hits. Bryce Matthews with a 434-foot home run. Yordan upper decker in right field. I mean, it was just great. Everybody in the lineup got a hit. Lance McCullers Jr. was awesome. Seven innings, just one run. And nine strikeouts, one walk. Just awesome. Just a great performance. Holy crap. So there was that. Isaiah Harwell is transferring. Isaiah Harwell, his dad says he's got to go to a place. So the quote is this. We were sad that we have to make the move, but we're looking out for the best interest of our son. He needs development. He needs some offensive development, and that's what we're going to be seeking mostly from the next opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want him to go to the pros. Don't know. Yeah. Maybe don't know the playing time. Obviously, he's making a comment about the offense. I mean, it's, you know, whatever. I get it. I mean, this happens.
Yeah. It's part of college basketball. You look at, after the season, I think it was Sharp or Uzan, I forget who it was, said, watch Mercy Miller next year. He's going to be an All-American. He had himself a really nice season. Kelvin depended on him more and more as the season went on.
Mm-hmm.
I think he walks in because he has been in the pro. He walks in as the starting shooting guard next year. Depending on, well, they've got a 7'2" guy coming in that is going to be fantastic. And then we'll see what else they do. They've got a lot of work to do this offseason. But Mercy Miller bided his time, sat. He was a big name coming out of high school, sat first couple of years, watched, and here he is now going to be playing a huge role with this basketball team. Isaiah Harwell didn't have that kind of, and that's fine. I thought Isaiah Harwell, when he was on the floor, was kind of a little bit slow.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little heavy-footed. He is not, he certainly isn't anywhere near Kingston or Uzan as far as foot quickness. So I think that he might struggle in this program, maybe go somewhere where they like slow-footed guards. I don't know where that is. I don't know where that is. But that's something that, he was the guy last offseason that everybody, oh, my God, Isaiah Harwell's coming. And it turned into Kingston Flemings was the guy.
We talked about him on the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy couldn't play.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
We talked about how Isaiah was more of a defensive guy, remember, and he didn't shoot all that well and all of that stuff in high school. His dad said there was no reason that he left there other than that he felt he could do more. He could offer a program more than what he was given. You aren't given anything at University of Houston. You have to take it. That's a fact. So Isaiah, obviously,
sounds like no hard feelings.
No, listen, and there won't be. When Tremont left, Tremont did himself a solid by leaving the program and going to Texas. He was the man at Texas and turned, you know, and it was a good move for him. It was a really good move for him. And Kelvin said, you know what, God bless. You want to transfer? This isn't for you.
Yeah, then, Arkansas first, Dell said. He went to Arkansas first.
Right, I know, but it turned out to be great for him at Texas. The fact of the matter is that it's not for everybody at the University of Houston.
No.
It's not.
No. And it's not only that, but just if you're not playing, you leave. That's all. It's not even that long a conversation. He's not playing. Got to go somewhere else where I can play. I get 4 years of eligibility or 7 years of eligibility, whatever the new rules are. And so, got to play. Okay, bye. No hard feelings. You just weren't good enough to play here. Things didn't work out. Portal on. That's just part of life.
He has said multiple. It's not for everybody. It's just not. And you know what? It wasn't for Isaiah Harwell, and that's great. But the Cougs will be just fine. The Cougs are going to be back in the Sweet 16 next year because it's what they do.
All right.
There is no question.
We're going to have to break it already because you guys went way past last segment. So we have to break it now. When we come back, we need to jump back on these Astros. We haven't talked about them since the first segment. And they've won three in a row. We love our Astros in Houston.
And all across the Lone Star State.
Maybe we get a little train whistle coming when we come back.
Because
I know is that we have a pitcher who's on the cusp of winning his first Cy Young. Maybe not the cusp necessarily, but trending towards a Cy Young.
Yep.
And we've got some guys trending for MVPs. So could be what you called last year the most special season in Astros history.
This ain't the death of a dynasty. I don't know what is.
What?
This is the celebrating a three-game winning streak when you're the Astros.
That's not death of a dynasty. That's
what it sounds like to me. What are we?
It's acknowledgement.
What are we, the Pittsburgh Pirates? We're celebrating three-game winning streaks? It's embarrassing what you're doing right now.
I don't like the way that's categorized. I don't like the way you're characterizing
come
this.
Come to expect wins. Oh, we won three in a row. Look at us. Pittsburgh radio would be doing something like that.
It's not easy to win three in a row anymore.
No,
it's
not
hard.
Not in baseball, not in this economy.
Is it hard?
Yeah, it is.
Let's see
how many teams right now are carrying three-game win streaks.
If you play 600 ball, Dell, like they're playing right now.
Great.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Win division.
They're not even leading the division.
For now.
So if the Rangers play 750 baseball for the entire season, what then?
Hey, John, if I were to tell you that who's got the longest winning streak in Major League Baseball right now?
Oh, it's tied
between the Reds and Astros.
Maybe Dell is longest not all that right about
so,
it.
Yeah, why don't you do your fact? Oh, I just fact-checked
so
you.
So they don't even have the longest winning streak?
I just fact-checked
you. It's
tied?
Oh, it's tied.
Two elite teams, Cincinnati and Houston.
All this nonsense. Elite. We got football to talk.
Yeah, that is true. We do have to talk about. We do. I need.
Oh, we just keep it here then.
We'll keep it here.
And oh, by the way, we got some NFL.
Well, we got Kevin Sumlin on right now, John.
Let's go.
We're just going to keep it here.
Let's go. We're going to keep it here because we got the coach of the Houston Gamblers with us here on ESPN 97.5. He's got a big game this Sunday, Easter Sunday. I think it's what you guys changed it to 5 o'clock game, Coach. Is that right?
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock. And by the way, we would take a three-game winning streak tomorrow if we could get one.
Three-game winning streaks are awesome, aren't they?
Listen, it's all relative, right? When you always play the game, a three-game winning streak is pretty good. So, and based on our performance last Saturday, we take that right now.
So,
but, it's 5 o'clock Saturday. I'm sorry, Sunday. With Ludacris at halftime.
Yeah, it was a long halftime last week too, right?
Yeah. Those halftimes are like bowl games, you know, they're like 20, 25 minutes. So, it's good for the fans. The people had a great time. It's so loud in those places, you hear it in the locker room, you're trying to talk, and guys are performing, but the fans have a great time, and so it'll be fun over at Shell Energy, and we can't wait to get there.
Yep, until you go to a concert and a football game broke out. That is going to be Sunday at 5 o'clock, Ludacris at halftime. What'd you learn about your team up in Dallas?
Well, I tell you what, we didn't play very well early, and that's when it got out of hand. We made a change of quarterback, and Hunter Deckers came in and we did okay, but it was too little, too late, and you know, we turned the ball over twice early in the game, which, you know, you can't do that against anybody and expect to win. And but it all, you know, I thought Hunter came in and played 19-29 and threw the ball pretty well. We got to establish a better running game, but in that situation, we got behind and we just had to throw it every down and try to get back in it.
Yeah, I was watching. He had, I mean, it was a lot of short stuff, but he did break open a couple of big plays. Defensively, yeah, you had they didn't even try to run the ball early on. They were throwing it pretty damn well. You got to shore up some of that pass defense, huh?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing this week. And you know, we got us in playing probably too much man, not probably, too much man-to-man in a lot of situations and a lot of crossing you know, it's when you're on offense, you call them rub routes. When you're on defense, you call them pick routes. So that's what happened, and we got to do a better job of coaching and get our pass defense shored up.
Yeah, you've seen them, and you can play better. Yeah, obviously, you can play a lot better than you guys did.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We have to play better. We can play better, and I think, you know, we learned a lot about ourselves, and you know, we got an extra day this week, so we got going yesterday just fixing and correcting ourselves, right? Not worried about the opponent yet, but, you know, we've got till Sunday, so we got an extra day with the players to get healthy. We came out, you know, reasonably healthy. We'll probably have one of the top special teams guys in the league, and Cropper, I mean, he's something else. He's a guy I called, and, you know, I got a recommendation from somebody that at the Cowboys and said, hey, you know, this guy was this close to making the team, but it's kind of hard to make it as a kick returner with the guys that we have, because, you know, we got two Pro Bowlers, and it doesn't mean that he can't play, and, you know, I think it was only the second kickoff return for a touchdown in UFL history because of you know, the way the kickoff is set up right now. Yeah. So he's an explosive player, caught a few balls. He's very, very, very talented, and he thought he was tired last week. If things go the right way this week, he'll be extra tired this week because he is an explosive player, and we got to get him the ball more.
Yeah, is Hunter Deckers your guy now? I mean, he had a cup of coffee with the Saints. He thought this was the right path for him to come to the UFL as opposed to, you know, maybe being a third team guy on some NFL roster. He can show his stuff, and you know, he started pretty well last week.
Yeah, and, you know, here's a guy who, let's, you know, he was in junior college after, you know, the all the stuff at Iowa State as a starter, and then, you know, he goes to junior college. He's rusty, right? And so we tried to get him as many reps as we could at camp, and just like camp during the game, his confidence got better, his communication got better, and he got better, and so, you know, I think, you know, going forward, he's probably going to get a little better every week, but we need him to get better in the next 4 or 5 days because, you know, this league is an interesting league, a lot of tight ball games, but you can't turn the ball over and the way we did early in the game. Otherwise, it just gets out of hand. Because the clock is running, and, you know, you know, sometimes it's a 6 or 7 possession game for the whole game. And if you have a turnover, particularly a pick six, I mean, that's like 2 or 3 possessions right there.
Coach, yep. I'm reading my Jalen Cropper draft report from when he came out. I had a 6-round grade on him. And something I mentioned in here that you might want to keep an eye on. Maybe you can do this and then just as a shout out to the show. I talk about the fact that he threw two touchdowns as a gadget option, threw two touchdown passes, and ran a lot of zone read as well. So you might be able to throw a little shenanigans in your next game.
Dang it, Lance.
I know.
Lance.
Oh, I mean, no, I was joking. There's nothing like that's happening.
Lance.
Screwed up my reverse pass already. I guess I got to take that out this week and wait for a while. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, you started it. You started it by saying, I think we're going to play a lot more zone this week than we did last week. What?
Well, that's fine. The reverse pass is a pretty big deal, Lance.
That is a big deal. Right.
I hope Birmingham's not listening to this show.
Okay? We can always zone read them.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Got the whole game plan. Tell Birmingham your first four plays, coach.
You just eliminated the reverse pass and the Wildcat. So I just got to move back on and be conventional again this week, I guess. But I appreciate coming on the show, guys. It's great.
Well, the show has been a bit of a jinx lately.
Yeah, we have been. Ain't no coach winning like when they come on
Houston
this show.
Cougars 0-2 with us. Ryan Presley, career over.
Yeah.
Like I said, we take that 3-game winning streak in a heartbeat right now.
One game.
That's cool.
But, one game at a time. But, we're looking forward to Sunday. And, all jokes aside, Jalen Cropper is a heck of a player. And on our phone call before he decided, this is his first year in the league. He's another guy like that, like Hunter Deckers that, Cowboys let go. He still lives up there in Frisco, up by there. So it was an easy drive over here to Arlington to practice. I'm with you, Lance. I think, he had a sixth-round grade. He was really close to making the team, and there's no shame in not making the Cowboys as the kick return guy, the fifth receiver, because of the talent level they have at punt returner and kick returner and wide receiver. So he's great for us, and if he continues to play like this, he's going to find his way back on the roster somewhere else on another NFL team.
Yep. That's Coach Sumlin, UFL Birmingham versus Houston, and it's going to be 5:00 Easter Sunday, Ludacris at halftime. Get on over there to the Dynamo Stadium and watch this team play. Hey, go to church, go to Easter brunch, and then head over to the ball game. That's a nice Easter Sunday for everybody. That's Coach Kevin Sumlin with us here once again on ESPN 97.5. Coach, we appreciate it. Go get him on Sunday.
All right, we will. Hope to see you guys this Sunday. All right, appreciate it, guys.
All right, man. There's Coach Kevin Sumlin with us right here on ESPN 97.5. All right.
If he was the real one, Coach, what he needs to say is, tell Houston I said hello.
Tell Houston. Well, that's less. Nobody wants to do that.
Less miles. When he get off the phone with us, Houston, tell Houston I said hello, John. Okay, I'll let Houston know, Coach.
Time to talk about that. Okay. I mean, that's ugly to coach.
It's something that I literally said, something that happened in that historically happened.
It did.
And I didn't even make any of that part up.
No, you didn't.
Tell Houston we said hello, John.
But you want Coach Sumlin to do that? Is that what you want?
Just like as a joke.
Yeah. No. Maybe next time. How about this? Kent Jones, my man. You're going to buy a house here in the Houston area, and you're going to try to do it yourself. Do you know the title company? You got a real estate agent. You got – how about a real estate agent that might kick you back some of their of their percentage, because that's what Kent Jones can find for you. How about which loan is best for you? FHA, VA, USDA, jumbo, conventional, niche loans. What is best for you? I don't know. But Kent Jones knows. You don't know. I don't know. Kent Jones knows, because he's been doing this for over 30 years, since 1995. Over 1,400 mortgage loans he's closed. I mean, you think this guy doesn't know? This guy saves you money. Most in any other, a broker is usually a go-between and they cost you money. Not in the mortgage game. A broker saves you money. This broker saves you more money than other brokers. He just does. It's because of the way he does it. His overhead, it's how he's been doing it forever, and he cares. So you're looking for the best way to get that mortgage. You have to call Dream Rate Mortgage. 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN, or 975loans.com. Tell Kent Jones you heard it right here.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 248-2473. J. Ken Jones, NMLS number 356-118, Equal Housing.